Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Paul Hawksby
and Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Andy, I was back after me break.
Yes, welcome back. It was good to have you back.
Yeah, we had a bit of a chat about various things, didn't we?
We did. Yeah. Talked a bit about last night's football.
Yeah.
Talked a bit about... can't even remember now.
Yeah, so it was 3 hours ago. That's why we do Don't Ask Me. We were also...
It was good, though. I remember
Martin Kellner was on.
He was on good form, Martin. Yeah. Quite you an extended up, version, really.
You came up with some Rod Stewart tree-based puns as well. Yeah, maybe so we can squeeze a couple of them in.
That's all good. Yeah.
So, should we just do that?
Why not? I think that'll do.
Don't forget, the clips of the week are available as a separate podcast.
And a special extra clip.
Yeah, extra clip. So, stick around. It is. We've got a lot of clips, haven't we? We've got about 20.
Yeah, there's
some good ones in there, so stick around about 3:30. But it is 5 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Big news day yesterday. A fascinating reaction.
I didn't miss much, did I? Arsene Wenger going after 20-odd years.
Yeah, exactly.
Quite quiet.
I'm just fascinated by the reaction in virtually all of the papers, really, or certainly in the sort of, not the broadsheets, but in the tabloids, and even in some of the broadsheets, about this idea of Wembley. Because when Martin Lipton came on yesterday,
I heard him.
It was quite a sort of reasonable chat. It seemed like a good idea. I could see the definite benefits of this. Yeah. You know, we all moan about the fact that we don't have enough 3G pitches. We all moan about that we don't have enough coaches. We all moan about the fact that semi-finals are at Wembley. We all moan about the fact that England have to play every game at Wembley and can't play on the road like that. And now this can happen.
Yeah.
You know, people are saying, can we sell the crown jewels? I love the fact they listed five of the great Wembley moments. All took place before the FA even owned Wembley. They were in the old Wembley.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, honestly, the Prime Minister, Football Association Chief should consider fans' views, what, just like you are, on safe standing. It's unbelievable, the hypocrisy of all this.
No.
Drives me potty. It really does.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the years, the very few years that Wembley was owned by the FA, and it's been a drain on resources. I mean, this was always going to be a key time, and I'm sure, you know, we were very fortunate when he's a good guy, isn't he? Shah Khan, he came in and had a chat with us a little while ago. I mean, he bought us a bottle of Fulham gin, but that didn't cloud our judgment because we didn't drink at the time. But he was a very impressive bloke, wasn't he? And
I just think the idea, you know, that somehow that Wembley, you know, there won't be any football there, that it's going to be, you know, the NFL only play from September to December anyway.
Yeah.
And they need to have, he needs to have income, you know, coming in if he owns the stadium.
Of course.
It's not going to become a housing estate. I mean, I really...
become a housing estate.
Well, you know, one of the papers, the editorial in the Star, said, England are going to be forced on the road for greed. You think, well, first forced on the road, that, you know, we all want them to play on the road. And greed, what, in a not-for-profit organisation? Honestly, it's brilliant.
You know, the FA have to maintain a whole staff to run that stadium, which is not sort of, let's use one of those, it's not football-facing, love, is it? I mean, it's
horrible. I went there on Sunday. I once again reinforced the view that it's not actually a great stadium. No. It's nowhere near like the old Wembley.
I don't have a massive problem with it.
You know, and the idea that somehow we're selling the crown jewels. Rolls-Royce is owned by a German company. Weetabix in China. Bloke listed these. Land Rover in India.
Yeah.
Branston Pickle, Japan. Newcastle Brown, Holland. Kit Kat, Switzerland. Harrods, Qatar. And Cadbury's, US. I mean, really? You know, but you'd think that suddenly, we're selling this great, how can we do this?
And
honestly, the reaction, fascinating. I know a lot of people think that, so, you know.
I was just going to say that it was always going to be a difficult time because those 10-year debentures were up at the start of this season. And there wasn't a massive amount of love for them amongst those people that committed. A couple of mates of mine bought them and they were expensive and they never felt they'd really got their money's worth. So this was always going to be a key time. If they were going to sell it at any point, because I don't think the renewals have been quite as stunning as they'd hoped, So, you know, you can understand why they're looking at that.
Just think, you know, to me, I can see the sense in it, but we'll talk about it later and we're going to have some different views on it. I mean, look, whatever your allegiances are, you'd have to have a half stone not to see Arsene Wenger going out, you know, want to see Arsene Wenger going out with a trophy in France in his final game. You know, I think it was a shame, really.
You're just banging my heart.
I know, you don't.
I don't mean that.
That was such a, honestly, that summed them up in the last 10 years. Didn't it? That, you know, they were so on top.
Yeah.
They controlled the game. They had all the chances, and they go and do that.
That's why I think if you look at the amount of openings they created early on in the game, well, they can go there and shock a few people next week. It's gone.
Their away form is terrible. Absolutely terrible. They were terrible in Moscow. They've been terrible in the Premier League. This is a team that haven't given a goal away for 11 games. Okay. You know, they've only let in four all season.
Well, let me stick my neck out and say I think they're going to go through.
They might. You know, they've got a chance.
I think you'll be surprised.
The trouble is that now Atletico don't... If Arsenal had even been 1-0 up, Atletico would have come on to them and that would have given them a chance to counter. This way, Atletico is just going to sit back, aren't they?
But for the first 20 minutes, I mean, they could have had about four goals, couldn't they? I mean, they were so on top.
They were all over. Thomas Partey, they had to move to right back when the right back got sent off. He told me to stand for Parliament in Ghana, actually, when he retires. I'm looking forward to the Partey political broadcast.
Yeah, that's...
Thank you.
It's a great
That's
name,
what you
it?
Missed.
I mean, if they win, there will be a Partey. It's bound to be, isn't it? I suppose you always will do that.
I thought the refereeing... The trouble with the refereeing is if you go from Michael Oliver...
Yeah.
Very, very reactive, quick to react. If you go to the bloke Bjorn Kuipers on Wednesday night, who just let everything go. I mean, you might as well, the decisions that Madrid got, he was so lenient, the ref. And then you go to the guy last night, who just, you know, you can't really criticise him because he probably had a point in all of it. But, you know, some referees believe in final warning, a lot of them, and some referees are just, they just sort of panic almost. And just, you know, he could have gone up to Simeone. You know, it was an emotional point. He could have said to him, shut up. You do that again, you're in the stands. But he could have done, couldn't he? He
should
not, you know, does he speak Spanish? Does he know what he's saying? The thing that he was saying to him is the thing that all...
I don't speak Spanish, but a word that begins with P, I think I caught that.
And it's a very common use in Argentinian football. Mm. All the fans say it, the players say it, everybody says it there. You know,
it wasn't just
that.
It was his body language as well.
Yeah, his body language.
He cuffed one of his own coaches around the
head. I'm not saying he wasn't right to do it. I'm just saying he didn't have to do it and he didn't have to send the bloke off. You know, it depends with how you want to referee a game. Do you want to keep 11 aside on the pitch? Do you want to keep the coaches there? In general, you do. You know, if they transgress, obviously they've got to go.
Mm.
You can't argue against him because against the letter of the law, he did what was right. But for me, it ruined the game because it was so one-sided. And even from Arsenal's point of view, they didn't really have the chance to counter because there was never really a point apart from when they scored that they were in Arsenal's half.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a shame because the game was well set up, but there you go.
Opportunity wasted today. Far be it from us to have a pop at the royal family, but you've probably heard that we have got Louis Arthur Charles. I mean, I can understand the...
Is that his name? It's not Arthur?
No, it's not Arthur.
Oh, there were big bets on Arthur. We had a big royal special while you were away.
Arthur! That's the middle name.
Arthur's going to be gutted, Arthur Edwards. He was so happy.
Well, it's a middle name. I mean, he'll take that one in the royal photographer.
Oh, yeah.
So, obviously, it was Lord Mountbatten's name, and it's an emotional attachment. I can understand. But there's some great lost names in this country. Mm. Most of them kind of from my generation. It seems the names from your generation, Andy, they're coming back. It's great, but they are. They're coming back, you know.
Old Algernon.
The Alberts and the names like that, the Oscars, but the Elses, and all, they're all coming back.
Of this world.
The Sydneys, they're coming back. But I'm from that kind of 60s late generation where people were called Darren. So, I mean, we need some of these names. How many kids are called Darren these days?
Not a lot, I wouldn't think.
So we need... this would have been a great opportunity, wouldn't it, to have had Prince Darren?
We've got any, Darren.
What were the opportunities missed with the great lost names for the royal baby? Let us know this afternoon.
Gary would have been good for
Gary, yeah. Gary. Prince Gary would have been terrific. Talksport.com/H&J. Text 81089 or tweet to TSH&J. Tell us why you think William and Kate may have missed the trick to bring back some of those great old names, really not of their generation, but, you know, maybe Andrews.
Some of the coverage while you were away was absolutely bonkers. I mean, really.
Of what, sorry?
The royal baby. You know? Oh, yeah. Terry Hutt, he was there. We had him on the show.
I've saw Terry on the telly. Terry made both Canadian and US TV.
Yeah,
he was quite the star.
Our producer went white because he remembers the last time that the royal baby was born. We sent him down to the Royal Hospital to get, or the Lindo wing, Bowling Lindo, to get Terry's voice on tape.
Okay.
And we did.
I'm being told by David Collins I should take that gift of a cap off of you because you're saying I could have been replaced with Schnorbitz all week.
Oh, yeah. No, I was explaining to them, the youngsters, Max and John, our producer, about Mike and Bernie Winters.
Oh, yeah.
And about,
it's great that you educate the kids.
Well, I try to.
The ways of old line entertainment.
How that Mike and Bernie, they stayed together for a long time.
Yeah.
But eventually they fell out. They were quite a big act and they fell out. And then,
well, you've been learning the clarinet, haven't you?
Right. And that Bernie replaced Mike with Schnorbitz. Mm. So I thought, you know, not a bad idea. I'll get him in.
Okay. Do you see yourself as the Bernie Winters in this relationship, really?
Not really, no.
That's very interesting. Well, then maybe I should take up the clarinet then.
Yeah, and I should be replaced by Schnorbitz.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's a thought. Thank you, David, for that tip-off. And I'll have that cap back, please.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport. We're coming up in the second hour of the show and we will be talking about Unai Emery and indeed Claude Puel. Adam was just mentioning both there with our French football expert Eric Bilderman from L'Equipe, getting his thoughts on the future of the both men and where PSG go from here. I think we know, don't we? Thomas Tuchel, formerly of Borussia Dortmund, is a shoe-in for that one. Sticking with the French theme, Manuel Petit joins us as well to talk Arsenal, their future and indeed their chances of getting through to the final of the Europa League. And we'll have the force panel as well. It's Southampton, Bournemouth, West Ham, Man City, Manchester United, Arsenal. Call us now. We'll call you back at around 20 to 3, 08717 22334. You just need to tell us what the scores of those games will be.
Now, I don't normally do stories twice, but as you've been away...
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, this story, I've got to do it again. I do apologise to listeners.
Is this the one I heard in the car yesterday?
About the woman who took the potato home.
Yeah. No, tell me. I want to know more about it. So this was...
Dog walker Jade Barwell, 30, took a live grenade home, thinking it was a potato. After...
Well, I
might have a chips around her house.
I just thought you'd missed an opportunity, you and Max, to get Hal Robson-Kanu on.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's not the man
Hal,
with
can
the
you tell the difference between an Albert Bartlett potato and a hand grenade?
Yeah. I think, you know, with his family, because Hal's married into the Bartlett family.
He has.
So he doesn't want for spuds. So he would have been the perfect
guy
to get on.
He might be on a low-carb diet, though.
He might have been the perfect guy to get on, you know, talking a bit of football.
I don't like potatoes. That would have been embarrassing for
him. I'm not a massive fan of the spud. Yeah.
Actually, most people like potatoes, unless you're on a sort of low-carb diet, don't you?
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean...
Do people not like potatoes?
Well, 087... No, don't even bother. Really, don't even bother.
Popular vegetable, I would suggest.
I've got planning. Planning news.
Oh, planning news, yeah.
I've got some rock and roll planning news.
Oh, good, yeah.
Now, when young journalists, of course, cutting their teeth in the fantastic world of journalism, aren't looking at Twitter and social media for stories, they turn to planning news these days, and it's a growing trend of who can possibly forget Kevin Keegan's extension. That was very much the All the President's Men of planning news in the papers. But this is a tree in the grounds of Sir Rod Stewart's mansion has been lopped as it disrupts a new mobile network. Yeah, apparently workers on the Nationwide Project found his giant oak created a black spot for police. Not the first time that's been said. So basically, Epping Forest District Council. Where will we be without planning news? This is what they want, isn't it?
I think this is what they want.
Never mind bringing down the government. This is what they want.
Planning news.
Epping Forest District Council ruled it had to be cut by 5 metres to meet the public need. Sir Rod, 73, did not submit any objection.
Well, he probably doesn't mind. Yeah. 5 foot lopped off.
Rod's probably listening this afternoon. But normally the Sun did this. Yeah. And they obviously didn't have room because they would have, had they had time, come up with 10 tree-based Rod Stewart songs.
Yeah, okay.
So look, it is Friday. You can bring in games. You've got 2 hours to come up with 10, TalkSport listeners, 10 tree-based Rod Stewart hits. That's all you've
I'll
got
have
to
give
do.
It a bit of thought.
Do the Sun's work the for them, because all they've done is brought us planning news. Let me just finish this, because I know you're hanging on every word.
Yeah.
He bought the 10-bed 18th-century mansion in Harlow, Essex, for £4.65 million in 2013. So let's have 10 tree-based Rod Stewart classics. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ.
Now, it's ESPN, the... website.
Plumbers.
Not the plumbers, the website.
Hello, ESPN. I'll bring me rods.
Are advertising, somebody put it, retweeted this, advertising for a Spurs correspondent.
Oh, okay, fantastic.
But listen to what you need.
Oh, I'm a bit too biased, mate.
Well, I think you might be.
Yeah.
But you'd think, like, if you think about the old beat reporters, you think somebody like Norman Gill.
It wouldn't be great with
Spurs.
Me doing covering games for ESPN saying, get Sissoko off pot. Get him off! It's not good. It's not what they want.
Idea.
It's not what they want, is it?
To be successful in this role, this is what you need. You must be able to demonstrate a bachelor's degree or higher in journalism.
In Spurs?
Oh, that's sleek.
I think I've got at least A-level Spurs.
A-level Spurs.
I don't know if I've got a Bachelor of Arts in Spurs.
No. Bachelor degree or higher in journalism, communications, or related fields.
What, just to do planning news?
No, to do Spurs news. Good news, judgment and strong writing skills.
Yeah.
Typically 2 years of writing, reporting and editing experience.
Yeah.
Ability to... I mean, honestly, you think, really?
It's a
beat reporter for a club.
As we may discover
League
at the
club.
End of the day show, it's a tough job market out there, Andy.
Well, I suppose it is, but yeah. I do feel for people, because I bet there are people there who've got a real feel for football, a real feel for writing, but
so
they haven't got a bachelor's
degree. Do you think any Tom, Dick, Larry could just wander off the street? A lot of people have done journalism degrees. Mm. Many of them pass through these corridors.
For example, let's take two people. Bloke with a bachelor's degree, who may have a passing interest in Spurs, and Crackers, our old friend Richard Cracknell.
Yeah.
I maintain, I don't know if Crackers has got a bachelor's degree in journalism.
He might have.
If you haven't, Crackers, I do apologise. I would maintain that he'd make a better Spurs correspondent, but he'll never get the job.
He's like me, he's too close to it. You know, you want someone with a bit of distance, don't you? You don't want anybody with skin in the game, do you?
You don't.
We'd start slagging Tottenham off if they had a bad game. Or being overly positive if they won a few.
Yeah,
so you need a bit of professional distance.
Yes. And I love the story today in one of the papers. Luis Enrique plots 200 million shake-up.
Yeah.
Even though he hasn't got the job, they won't pay him 15 million and they haven't got that to spend. And there's no quotes. Apart from that, yes, that's the one.
I was saying to you earlier on, though, looking at Simone last night, Simone. I've been away a week. Nina Simone.
Simeone, yeah.
Looking at Simone last night, I'm not sure how he's going to get on in the Arsenal boardroom.
He's not right.
You can imagine him, can't you? Old Sir Chips and Sir Lord Farquharson and all the other board members.
Yeah.
And he comes in and he's doing Spanish effing and jeffing, as we saw last night, calling people's mothers all sorts.
I don't think he speaks English. And he'd just be wrong for Arsenal.
But old Sir Chips. The old monocle will come off and land in his turtle suit. Won't it? You can see that.
You can. Although one paper did say, you know, perfect for Arsenal. So it's a game of opinions, isn't it? I suppose some people would think he'd be fantastic. Interesting story about this, though.
When the Arsenal board, do you think they go? Some of them go into other boardrooms. Do you think they like run the finger off across the top of the table for dust?
Yeah.
And then they kind of hold the bottle of brandy up and say, "This is only a 1753. We've got a bottle of 1620 in the
They need somebody with a bit more, you know.
Would you send in?
I think Allegri would be good for them.
Mm.
Definitely would be good. I don't think Simeone. Luis Enrique probably.
He doesn't feel like an Arsenal fit.
I think there's doubts about Luis Enrique, because obviously he did a great job at Barcelona. But, you know, I've got a feeling I could do quite a good job at Barcelona. You know, if I had Messi in his prime and Iniesta and Xavi and everybody.
You could manage Man City, do you?
Well, yes. Honestly, think I could. I don't think I'd achieve what Pep's achieved.
Haven't we just spent a week saying that it's just too glib to say, "Oh well, yeah, with his money, anybody could do that"? And I think we've arrived at the fact that
no,
they couldn't. But you're saying, well yes.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Just saying that when he managed Roma, they did all right, but you know he didn't have the squad that he had at Barcelona. So you know, I mean, he's been linked with Chelsea. I wasn't sort of going through hoops at the thought of Luis Enrique joining Chelsea. So I'm, you know, not entirely convinced. So I think somebody like Allegri would be perfect for Arsenal, but we'll see what they've got their own views.
The Sun subs didn't have time today, or the boys in the office didn't have time to come up with the top 10. Rod Stewart tree-based songs for planning news.
Have our listeners come through?
Of course they have, yeah. Maggie Maple, says Alan.
Perfect.
That would have been on there.
Yeah.
Young Trunks, that might have been on there.
Yeah.
The birch cut is the deepest, says Trev. You, spelt Y-W, wear it well. That's very good. We'll take Faces songs as well as Rod songs if you want to add to the list. We are felling
that one, yeah.
Andy, thank you, Andy, but it wasn't quite close enough who sent that one in. But got any others? I was only oaking, says one of the listeners. Yeah. Any of Rod's hits with a bit of a tree? He listens, Rod, to the station.
Yeah, he does. That's
so he might be enjoying these. I don't know.
He likes the breakfast show. Really.
He may sue us.
You see this? A pig sanctuary has taken in more than 100 micro pigs after owners ditched them when they grew to full size.
Yeah.
Well, they're not micro pigs, then, are they? They're ordinary pigs. It's a great con, that, isn't it? You go out to somebody and go, would you like this cute micro pig? And they go, oh, it's so cute, isn't it? And, of course, it's just an ordinary pig. You probably can't tell when they're... The piglets.
All we really need to happen in the next 5 minutes is Victoria wondering with breaking news that a micro pig has just appeared with a grenade in its mouth, or is it a potato in Rod Stewart's garden? But they can't see it because the oak tree's too big.
And it's got the job as Spurs correspondent.
It's got the job as
ESPN.
Spurs. That's right. The pig gets a certain notoriety and finds itself sitting there at the new Spurs ground. Yeah, what a thought.
Not a bad idea.
Cracker's saying it should have been me.
He's right.
Yeah.
Eating dark chocolate can improve your memory.
It doesn't
apparently.
Improve your powers of speech,
doesn't
clearly.
Improve my
does it?
Reading. No. It doesn't improve my memory because I eat a lot of dark chocolate, and it's made no difference.
As we prove every Monday, and
exactly.
Don't ask me.
Yeah.
Any poor. More Rod Stewart songs? Mm. Ain't Love a Birch? That's a lot of birches going on. that's from David. Thank you very much for that. Come
Marvellous.
On. The Sun didn't have time to do it. You can do it for them as it's Friday. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH&J. We also think the royal family have missed a trick in not giving a more interesting name maybe to the new baby. Louis is a great family name, of course. We understand why they've gone down that route, but Prince Rodney, which sounds like a reggae artist. That was from Stuart. He suggested that one. That might have been nice. Kev Burgess said, I did offer them Prince Kev, but they obviously didn't get the memo. So just some of the names. They could have brought some of the great lost names of the 60s, 70s and 80s that you don't really hear anymore.
No, it's true. The cult. I'm fascinated, though.
What,
the
band?
Cult. Not the cult. Not the band. The cult of Arthur Edwards, the royal photographer at the Sun.
I don't think there isn't really a cult. You just talk him about him a lot.
No. He says here, today it says in the Sun, meet our royal snapper Arthur. Like he's become sort of like a superstar.
Well, it's good. It's his cup final coming up, isn't it?
It is. You get an opportunity to meet. You've got to buy tickets.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So.
This week
was his cup final.
Of course it is. It is.
Him and Terry Hutt.
Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yes, that music signals the arrival of squad number 9 with a week of sport on TV. It's Martin Kettner. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon, boys, and welcome back, Paul.
Thank you very much, man. Yes, I've been watching a bit of sport on TV myself. The mayhem of a bar in Toronto watching the Maple Leafs play the Boston Bruins in the NHL playoff games. That was pretty special. Yeah.
Well, you watch more than I have.
Maybe I should do this slot.
No, I've been watching the snooker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because this time of the year, of course, the World Championships at the Crucible in Sheffield. BBC Two put it on in the afternoon for the semi-retired like myself.
It's relaxing, isn't it?
Yeah, you sit there waiting for tipping points. And
that's the programme, not sort of, you know, it may make it sound like the, you know, waiting for tipping points.
4 o'clock, Ben Shepherd.
Yeah, and then that leads neatly into the chase. Then you've got the news, then you're ready for bed, aren't you, really? Seven?
No, it's pointless between that.
Pointless.
Don't forget Eggheads as well. You can watch quizzes all afternoon. But yeah, so I mean, they now obviously present the snooker, as we know, the same way as they present the darts. But I think if they're going to have nicknames like darts players, they would be just a wee bit more creative. I was watching this Thursday afternoon, and there were two matches on. So they introduced all four players. Now, 50% of the four players were called the Pride. We had the Pride of Northern Ireland, the Pistol Allen. There was also
he's got two nicknames there.
He's got two. But there was also two people called the Pistol as well. Then you had the guy from Cambridge. He was the Gentleman Joe Perry. And I thought, now, why is he called the Gentleman? There may be some news story that I've missed. He maybe rescued somebody from drowning or helped an old lady across the road. But I'm assuming he's called the Gentleman because he's dressed like a gentleman, like they all do.
Yeah, of course.
Or possibly because
Cambridge,
he's from
Cambridge. Professor.
The Professor. Yeah. They missed one
they
there.
They missed a treat there.
Anyway,
treat there,
it's the Gentleman Joe Perry. Then we had Anthony McGill. Now, Mark, the Pistol Allen, was the Pride of Northern Ireland. Mm. In complete contrast, Anthony McGill was the Pride of Scotland. Right. But they never had... Oh, yeah, and then the third Pride was Ryan Dynamite Day, who was the Pride of Ponty somewhere in Wales. I didn't catch the last bit of the Ponty, but it was somewhere in Wales.
Yeah.
But Ponty Kernan.
Other Ponties are available.
Lots of Ponties there. But I thought, if they're going to do it, let's do it properly. I mean, clearly they can't have girls leading them on anymore, like, because they don't do it in the darts.
They've stopped that.
No, they've stopped it in the darts. But, you know, the build-up, what you used to get, so when they had girls leading them on in the darts, you would get Phil Taylor looking rather pleased with himself. A little bit too pleased with himself as he was walking on with the girls. And, you know, with the darts players, you always thought that's the only chance they're going to get to have two very attractive, scantily clad girls to lead them to walk out with them.
Yeah.
For the final, though, they need Michael Buffer and the Fall.
You think the Fall, like, let's get ready? Yeah,
they should do it properly.
I'd say Rumble, though. Can you be playing snooker, really?
No. It is difficult with snooker. But they do look as though they're not altogether bought into it. You know, when you see the shot of them waiting to walk onto the Crucible stage, they don't seem to be. There was especially the Gentleman Joe Perry looked very, very bored with it. But I think maybe, I don't know, did you see the film Best in Show?
Oh, yes, absolutely,
where Fred Willard, doing that brilliant bit as the commentator, suggested that they should dress the dogs up in, like Sherlock Holmes. So that'd be a good idea, with a meerschaum pipe and a deerstalk and everything. Well, I suggest, if the guy's going to be called the Gentleman Joe Perry for no particular reason, he ought to be dressed like those illustrations of Bertie Wooster in the old P.G. Woodhouse, but, you know, with a monocle and a cane or something like that.
And if the other player takes a great shot and sort of a brilliant... pockets the ball, the old monocle can fall out when he looks shocked,
I'll suggest that.
Has Ronnie O'Sullivan got a nickname?
The Rocket. They've all got them.
He already had one, of course.
But you know, the thing is, Jimmy White, Whirlwind, there's certain nicknames, Alex, they're almost kind of organic, aren't they?
Yeah.
Some, you know, bit of alliteration and all that, but the others feel a bit bolted on.
Very much bolted on. But as I say, it's very relaxing to watch in the afternoon. It's sort of napping gently.
Just very quickly, turn our screens around the IPL coverage on Sky, and if you've missed him now, Bumble, David Deloitte is wearing a sleeveless Nehru jacket.
Oh, really? Yeah. They all
wear
those.
Like a Nehru vest. What a look!
But you know, that's the look of the IPL
Yeah, no, exactly. But it's, I mean, it's great to see a man from Accrington carrying that off.
Well, it's the look of the IPL, because obviously the Beatles wore those when they went over there to see the Maharishi.
So they stuck with them. You're suggesting the Nehru jacket was taken to India by the Beatles.
It's called the Nehru jacket.
Yeah, exactly. Surely the clue's in the name, but well done. Put Beatles that on QI me. And see how they get on with that one.
I watched The Feud, obviously. I suspect you've talked about The Feud, have you? Alex Ferguson versus Arsene.
Oh, it was on Channel 5, wasn't
it?
It
was on Channel
5. I've not seen it. We'll watch it.
It's brilliant. It was good, actually. I didn't realise Alex was quite so foul-mouthed as he was in this. My goodness me. Every second word. They've got some really good footage. Stuff that I'd not seen before.
I was once told by someone within the Scottish camp that the king of the swears was Archie Knox.
Really?
He was Alex's assistant for me. This is a man who could swear for 10 minutes without repeating himself.
No, Alex wasn't very creative about it. It was just the one particular word that he used all the time. but it was a great... I also didn't realise that... I mean, maybe I've missed out on a lot of this, but I didn't realise that Alex Ferguson had a fascination with Laurel and Hardy. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
He apparently was a huge Laurel and Hardy fan.
Like me. Maybe we should take him some hard-boiled eggs and nuts. Let's hope he's never in hospital, but we will take them to him, Martin.
Yeah,
see if he gets it.
Absolutely. I'm sure he would. According to this, he had a fascination with that. Obviously, they had lots of talking heads there. Henry Winter was on talking about Sir Alex. But they also had some... they had a lot of stuff with Martin Keown. And there still seemed to be... And Phil Neville as well, who called his brother Gary... No, Gary Neville was on it, and he called his brother Phil... it was Phil called Gary a drama queen. Apparently, when Vieira had a go at... said something to Gary Neville, which he took exception to, he was going, do you know what he said? Right, drama queen, Gary, is, according to Phil.
Still a great TV moment. Isn't that moment in the tunnel with Graham Polk hitting them all apart? Go and pick on someone your own size. That was the infamous line from...
Is that all in there as well?
It's all there with Roy Keane, obviously.
Yeah, Roy Keane saying to Patrick Vieira, if you were any good, Real Madrid would have bought you. It was very catty.
It was very, very good.
Yeah. But it's very interesting because adversarial relationships between managers always end when one manager is superior to the other and is no longer threatened. So now Mourinho says he gets on with Wenger. The same with Arsene Wenger and Fergie. They became friends, didn't they? Because in the end, they weren't rivals.
No. But this obviously focused on the keen rivalry during the 1990s. It was it was great stuff. It really is worth. You know, I know that it says Channel 5. You think I won't bother with that, but when you see a talking head show on Channel 5, you think, well, it's going to be.
I'm hoping you're going to be in it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Clearly, it was a really
only
good
tune in for you.
Yeah, clearly, it was a really good one. This because neither Paul nor I were.
You're not going to turn down £150, are you?
I don't even get asked. I don't know what you're worried about.
That's paid your TV license for pointless.
Precisely. £150, and they get your taxi back to the station.
It's marvellous, isn't it?
Yeah, it's excellent. Also, he had a book on his desk, Alex Ferguson, called Winslow Homer. It had great artist Winslow Homer. Are you familiar with the
work? Are you sure that's not one of the horses he owned?
Well, I don't know. It said great artist Winslow Homer.
We're a big fan of The Simpsons, who lives in Cheshire.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. Yeah.
Not bad.
It's so dismissive when you say that to me.
No. I'm tipping my hat. It's a way of saying chapeau.
Yeah.
Steve McLaren was very good at it. Steve McLaren talked about the pressure that Alex put on him, you know, with the hairdryer. He said he never slept for the first 5 or 6 months he was there as Alex's...
I think he slightly exaggerated there, hasn't he?
He killed him. Yeah, that's why he lost his hair.
He slept for 6 months.
He had a full head of hair before that.
Yeah.
And obviously you'll have talked about the fantastic Liverpool match.
I wasn't here, but I'm taking it Max wonderful. And Andy did.
So Gary Lineker was very good. A couple of good lines there.
Very good. And... I think BT do a good job with the Champions League. Yeah, they do. And although it was funny,
I was getting the world feed, so I bowed to your superior knowledge.
But it was very funny. The next night, I made the point on the show that Steve McManaman so enjoyed Tuesday night that it wouldn't have mattered if Real Madrid Bayern had finished 5-5 with 5 overhead kicks by Cristiano. He still wouldn't have thought it was as good as Tuesday night.
Yeah. No.
That was a bit after the Lord Mayor's show, wasn't
it? But he was right. It was a
bit of a dog, wasn't it, really?
It was a very poor standard.
Yeah, but the Liverpool match was absolutely superb, and you presumably noted the line, Mohammed had too much for Jesus, did you?
No, I didn't say that, yeah.
Oh, he said that. He said when Jesus, as we all, Jesus, oh, yeah. couldn't deal with Mo Salah. He said Mohammed had too much for Jesus.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was rather interesting live, slightly controversial.
Yeah, slightly controversial.
One more thing before I go. Mm-hmm. A guy called Julian Shea sent me a link to Quizball.
Oh, yeah.
I presume you... Did you use that on the fantasy football at all?
No, Quizball was a show that Andy and I were involved in in the remaking of, the reboot of Quizball. We did a pilot, but it never went to series. But
well, it got a series. That's not actually strictly true.
It's a lot of TV politics. We're not
TV
bitter.
Politics.
And we're not bitter, but there's a lot of TV.
I can see it.
But
I tracked down the woman of the wife rather of the husband.
The wife of the husband. Yeah, that's fantastic. Was it Phil Neville or Gary Neville? Spin it out.
Wife of the man who invented Quizball.
Yeah, this was a terrible
subsequently discovered that the BBC never owned the former.
Yeah,
right.
Let me explain what it is to anybody who's under 86. This was a kind of a league of their own. Think it's all over. Kind of its generation.
Very much of
this was
generation.
All the very top players of the era. You'd have, for example,
Jack Whitehall smoking a pipe.
Yeah, you'd have a team, two teams, it would be Arsenal versus Chelsea.
Well, it's Arsenal versus Nottingham Forest.
And you would get a celebrity that supported that club, as along with often the manager and a couple of the players. But George Graham once told me, when he was at Villa, it was a great excuse to come down to London and go on the lash for the boys. So they were all up for being in the quiz ball team.
Yeah. But it was a terribly complicated quiz. David Vine took at least 5 minutes to explain the rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, and that's one of the problems we had in the pilot.
No TV shorthand goes on.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. And the celebrity fan for Nottingham Forest was farmer Ted Moult. It's a reference for the teenagers there. puffing away on his pipe for
exactly.
it. And the celebrity fan for Arsenal was Jimmy Young.
Well, yeah. Jimmy Young. Well, it's dating it all the time, really, isn't it? You've got double glazing.
I'm probably the only person who can remember Ted Moult's catchphrase on the double glazing thing. Do you remember that?
What was it?
You only fit them once, or fit the best Everest.
Yeah. It gave him a chance to do his Ted Moult, which is very similar to all of his other impressions.
Channeling Roy Hodgson.
I'd say ask your dad, but your dad won't remember him either.
No, it's on YouTube. You're fine.
Now, Martin, you're back. You're back
tonight. Well, tonight, 1 a.m.
Yeah,
1 a.m. till 5 a.m.
Into tomorrow. Yeah.
Much prized overnight slots on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. Yeah, available on digital on your app.
Of course. I've got some good stuff on. We're going to be sampling charcoal croissants. Because have you seen this? Charcoal.
No,
it's a superfood.
Is it?
Detoxify yourself. And there's a place in London that's selling charcoal croissants. And
it's not Frank carcinogenic, then.
Yeah.
Sorry?
No, I have seen these. Okay.
It was in the
charcoal.
Charcoal croissants.
They don't look nice.
No, they don't look nice at all. And a guy is at reception with a box of them for the for the 1 o'clock in the morning prize.
And your special guest, Winslow Homer.
Is Winslow coming in?
We're very much hoping Winslow Homer will come in. I hope he'll be wearing a monocle.
Is there Alex Ferguson talking about Lauren Hardy? He's doing 2 hours on Lauren Hardy. Favorite films.
Apparently.
That's it. Yeah, I gave it to him, and he gave it to you. He'll be doing all
that. Was that the money that you gave to me that I gave to him?
So Pete,
arguing about?
He'll be doing all of that. Brilliant. Thank you, Martin. We'll see you next
Very
week.
Welcome.
Martin coming back for the next two nights on Talk Radio from 1 a.m.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on Talk Sport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's best bits. A cruel clip from Andy, possibly one of the cruelest ones he's done for a while.
Yeah.
I think it's too cruel. I distance myself from this. Andy, set it up. What is it?
Well, basically, Nigel was talking about the ITV newsreader, Fiona Armstrong, and her love of fishing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen Fiona for a long time. She's a lovely lady. And she when Keith Arthur presented Tight Lines, if Keith was away, she hosted it a few times.
She doesn't fancy having a go on Fisherman's Blues, does she?
See, there's no need for that, as far as I'm concerned. It's unnecessary.
Sorry.
Okay, that's it.
That's it. Yeah,
we will catch up with you next week. Enjoy all the football. Keep it Talk Sport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.